I was talking yesterday to a couple of men about what I do. And I've shared this before. I love to read. And some books I read more than once. They're not always by Adventist authors either. That's okay, isn't it? But the more time that I spend in Scripture, I find the happier that I am. I'm not as grumpy. I'm not as gripey. I'm not as stubborn. I'm easier to get along with. And it seems I'm more flexible when conflict arises if I've been spending time reading. Life sometimes takes us into circumstances that we don't know how to explain. That's the theme of my preaching. You've picked up on that, I'm sure. A lot of mysteries of life happen that seem unexplainable. The little baby girl that was born with no face. Life seems to strike out sometimes at the unsuspecting. And for no apparent reasoning of faith or justice. Just life itself seems to bring fate. Instant pain in tragedy or lingering chronic suffering that lasts for months and years. And we blame it on sin. We say that suffering is the result of sin. Not always their sin, but of babies and women and strong men who are attacked with the unexplainable armies of disease and infections and crippling, life-destroying viruses. We blame it on the result of sin. And the reality of your life is one of constant conflict with those things that are happening in your life and in the world around you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" I have a New Testament with 8 different translations in it. And I read in Luke 17 and Matthew chapter 8 out of those 8 different translations. I'm convinced that there's more here than just a physical desire for healing that this man wanted. Of all the diseases known in the East, leprosy was the most dreaded. Today, we could name a lot of diseases. Probably the big C word is what we worry about the most, cancer. But leprosy was the most dreaded in those days. It had an incurable, it had a contagious character, had horrible effect upon its victims, and it filled the bravest men's hearts with fear. Among the Jews, leprosy was regarded as a judgment because of sin, and so it was often referred to as the stroke or the finger of God. Deep-rooted, deadly, it was looked upon as a symbol of sin. By the ritual law, the leper was pronounced unclean. Like one already dead, he was shut out from society, from all the habitations of men. Whatever he touched was unclean. The air was considered polluted by his breath. Anyone suspected of having the disease must first present himself to the priest, who were to examine them and then decide his fate. If he were pronounced a leper, he was isolated from family, cut off from the congregation of Israel. He was doomed to associate with those only who were similarly affected. The law could not be changed. There was no negotiating. Whether a person was a king or a pauper, the results were all the same. No one with an exemption. The leper would have to leave all society except those that were also lepers. He would be away from his friends, away from his kindred. And everywhere he went, he was required by law upon death to shout his own calamity, to tear his clothing, to sound an alarm, to warn anybody approaching him that he was contaminated. Unclean, unclean must be pronounced. And the weaker that the leper became, the weaker became the announcement, I'm unclean, stay away, stay away. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we don't find much about healing of lepers. You have to go all the way back to Naaman and to the book of Elisha the prophet. But Jesus was healing every kind of disease. The lepers had heard about it. Surely they had. But could they expect Jesus to do for them what he had never done for any man? There was one leper who didn't know how to reach Jesus. He could not have contact with fellow men. He couldn't talk to a priest as such. But in his heart, faith was springing up. Why, he is truly working miracle after miracle. If I could get to Jesus, he might could heal me. Questions going through his mind were questions that some of you may have asked at times. Does God really love me enough to help me? Out of the millions of people on earth, does God have the ability and the desire to reach down and heal me? Would God have the ability to notice someone believed to be already suffering under the judgment of God? Would Jesus not be likely to do what the Pharisees and the physicians and the priests had already done, to pronounce a curse of judgment upon him and warn him to flee and to run away? And then he began to think of all that he had heard about Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture do we have the record, and nowhere in this man's life has he heard of anyone coming to Christ with a need who was turned away. This wretched man, his body covered with sores, condemned of men, became determined to find the Savior. He was outlawed from the cities. It just might be that he could catch him some way traveling by a countryside lane. Maybe find Jesus teaching outside of a smaller community. His difficulties were great, but he became determined that his only hope was in Christ. He must get to Christ. He must find out for himself, does he love me? Spiritually, he is led to where Jesus is. Jesus is down teaching beside the lake. People are gathered around him. The leper has to stand a good ways off. He catches a few words from Jesus' lips. Just a word here and there. He cannot understand all of what he's saying. But then he begins to watch the actions taking place. He sees Jesus laying his hands upon the sick. He sees the crippled. He sees the blind. He sees the paralytic. He sees those dying of all kinds of diseases. They leave the presence of Jesus there, praising God for deliverance. No one is turned away. They are all healed. Faith strengthens in his heart, and he draws nearer and yet nearer to the gathered throng. The restrictions that have been placed upon him somehow are almost forgotten. He does not cry out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." He thinks only of one thing: I want to be healed. You know, there are people today who are suffering who will not admit that they need help and healing. And that's really a tragedy. I know a person, Dr. Howager. It started with a bad tooth. And she did not get a dental care. And the infection spread all the way into her brain. And she ended up spending months in the hospital, and still to this day, she's not completely recovered. It's just not right to refuse help if help is there. That might be in a relationship. It might be in business. It might be in health. But this man became so focused on getting to Jesus, he forgot what was wrong with him and began to focus on the solution. I've been guilty of transferring ownership to myself. And this was brought to my attention this week. I can talk about my heart surgery, my scar. And I'm not so sure that's the most positive way to look at life. Do we want to take ownership of disease or sickness? Really, I don't. I want to give it away. And so was the plight of the leper here. His decaying body is horrible to look upon. At the sight of him, people fall back in terror. They crowd upon one another in their eagerness to escape from contact with him. Some try verbally to prevent him from approaching Jesus, but all in vain. He neither sees them nor hears them, it seems. Their expressions of loathing are lost upon him. He sees only the Son of God. He hears only the voice that speaks life to the dying. Pressing close to Jesus, he casts himself at his feet with the cry, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Statement of faith, a statement of assurance, a statement of belief, but also an expression of action. He placed himself, positioning himself where God could do the work that he was asking him to do. I had read this before out of the book Desire of Ages, but I've never been impressed with it like I have been this week. Listen to this. Jesus pronounced the words, "Be clean." He laid his hand upon him. Jesus wasn't afraid of that leprosy. And immediately a change passed over the leper. His flesh became healthy. The nerves became sensitive. The muscles became firm. The rough, scaly surface peculiar to leprosy disappeared, and a soft glow like that upon the skin of a healthy child took its place. That's the one man. But our sermon today is really not about that one man. You see, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. All through Scripture, leprosy fits a lot of symbolism with sin. Always that which is bad. Never, ever that which is good. In Luke 17 and verse 1, Don read the scripture just a few minutes ago. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." There's a whole separate sermon right there. If you want to think about life as a journey. And in life, we go through some good places and some bad places. Some good times and some bad times. Samaria was not a good place to visit. That was sort of one of those bad places. The Jews did not appreciate going there. The disciples were always, it seems, afraid of Jesus being there. But in order to get to the promised land of Jerusalem, Jesus chose to take this route. Scholars debate exactly why he did that, because there was a shorter way that he could have taken. But I think it was because he knew of the lepers who would be there. As he went through Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Geographical region, filled with all different sorts of people. He came to a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers. And they positioned themselves afar off, standing way over there, listening to Jesus. I'll give you a challenge. Go home and do some research on Luke 17. There's not a lot in the commentaries. Go to Matthew Henry. Go to Spurgeon. Go to the Seventh-day Adventist commentaries. Go to Desire of Ages. Wherever you want to go, you won't find much. I looked. I searched. So let's just stay with Scripture. 10 men afar off. We just read the description of one man. And now we have 10. All of them hopeless, helpless, dying. Verse 13. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, Jesus didn't touch this group physically with his hands. He just simply pronounced the words. Jesus saw them and he asked them to act. He says, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Now, the last part of verse 14 is the most critical part. Sort of like Naaman dipping himself in the dirty waters of that river for seven times. Sometimes restoration comes to us only as we act in faith on the Word of God. You hear me? And I think sometimes we are way too stubborn. I can tell you this story by permission. I was talking to Jamie, my son-in-law, a couple of weeks ago about being stubborn. And I said, Jamie, you are one of the most stubborn men I've ever met. And he said, have you looked in the mirror lately? Hey, it's all right to be honest, isn't it? When we act in faith, that event demonstrates a faith. And faith is often demonstrated in believing in the unseen. The story that was told here earlier about someone returning their offerings to returning their offerings in faith, and then it being demonstrated back God's faithfulness to that person. Those are stories that can be repeated over and over. As these lepers went on their way to the priest, somewhere in that process, the cleansing started. Now, the man that came back to thank Jesus was not a Jew. At least, I don't find evidence that he had been baptized a Jew. He was a Samaritan. In the eyes of the Jewish people, he would have been a foreigner, someone of more lowly esteem, not worthy of any of the blessings of great Jehovah God. But this man, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice, glorified God. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Last Thursday, there were prayers all over this country from the Christian community of thanksgiving. There were those of spiritual maturity who, before they ate and as they were eating, expressed their thankfulness to God for the nation in which they live, for the abundance of food upon the table, the providence of health and family enjoyed. But I guarantee you, there were many times over more people who did not pray, who did not give thanks, who did not in any way express a grateful attitude toward God for the bounties of blessings Thursday or even this week combined. One out of ten is not a good number, is it? One out of ten. And he wasn't even raised as what we would consider a Christian. It prompted Jesus to ask, were there not ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The Jerusalem Bible says, your faith hath saved you. I'm not so sure that our life happens by chance. No. I think it's a result of law. Our salvation doesn't happen by chance. It happens by law. a law of the covenant in which the Scriptures teach us, for any who will call upon the name of Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. They shall be healed. I wish we could transfer the meaning of leprosy into the concept of the meaning of sin. A little bit of leprosy, just a little bit, is a killer, because it spreads and multiplies and grows, and it affects the whole body and eventually grabs the life forces and squeezes it out. So it is with sin in our life. The little sin that we can justify becomes larger and larger until we are eventually choked to death spiritually. I challenge you today, put your life where God can hold it. Give Him permission to keep you. Loving Father, we thank You for the gift of healing that has begun in our hearts even this day. And for those of us who have been healed, we thank You. For those of us here today who need spiritual healing and physical healing, let us have a thankfulness in our attitude this day. Please don't let us take ownership of what's wrong, but give it away to You, believing that You will take it from us. And like the lepers today, we cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Keep us safe until we meet again. We humbly pray. In Jesus' name, amen.